Off the ball. Rugby.
He was at the Stormers for a long time.
Yeah.
He's such a good coach. And I say coach, I mean the work ethic, the detail, the way he conveys it. No ego. You don't see him trying to take any media limelight. He's not come with celebrity. He just wants to win. And I think he's like one of the best coaches I've ever come across.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
Thanks to L'Oreal Men Expert. With 48-hour performance, stay cool when the football heats up.
This is News Talk.
This is Off the Ball Saturday. It's John Duggan with you through to five. But we have Kevin Coban on the line. Kevin joins us from Vancouver, Irish Centurion. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm very good, John. How's things?
Early start for you. We really appreciate you coming on. It's the crack of dawn there in Vancouver, and you've been traveling. You were in Toronto yesterday, Kevin.
Yeah, I was at the Canada game yesterday, the opener against Bosnia, and I managed to travel a little further west off the back of that last night, and now ready today. I'm actually looking forward to today towards Turkey and Australia. So yeah, it's been a long few hours, but just trying to get adjusted now, John. That's the way it is.
Tell us about Canada as a nation. Has it embraced the World Cup? Is there wall-to-wall coverage? Is there a feeling of excitement about this?
Yeah, well, up until, I mean, I don't live in Toronto really, so I'm quite far out of the city. But this week I was down in the city, maybe Wednesday, Thursday, prior to, it was actually probably Tuesday, Wednesday earlier on this week, prior to the game against Bosnia. And it was the first time I really got a feeling that the city was ready, that the city was prepared for the World Cup, and a feeling that maybe the supporters were ready for it. And of course, then when the game starts and you get the feeling of we're ready and we're going to go into a game that we need to go and win. Other than that, it was an incredible thing yesterday, John. It was extremely exciting to be part of the World Cup and to be part of the atmosphere yesterday that Canada were prepared for. It was great. It was a feeling that Canada naturally now already they're prepared for Qatar. They're prepared for Switzerland beyond yesterday against Bosnia. And I genuinely do feel now that there was I don't know, maybe a little bit of a buzz in the country, John. That's how it felt to me yesterday. Certainly prior to the game, but almost certainly afterwards, after the result yesterday, the first point in Canada's history in World Cup football, it was nice to be, or certainly to have the feeling that Canada are ready for it, if you know what I mean.
So you're working for the Sports Network there in Canada, Kevin, and they showed a lot of pace and zip. I mean, I thought they deserved their point. I was watching the game. Like Bosnia, we know what they are. They're physical. They're dogged. They scored from a set piece. But then Canada really upped it in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, the way that Canada played in the first half was probably not in keeping with how they've played recently. If anybody watched the game against Ireland last week, where I actually felt that the way that we'd set up Ireland, that is, that it was a little bit of more in trying to contain. I think there was a feeling of Ireland certainly turning up, playing very much a European style of football that Canada maybe weren't used to. But overall, I think as the game progressed, I think the first half, as I said, Canada didn't really play too well first half. I thought I thought Bosnia maybe played a bit more of a way of trying to maybe being a little bit more direct. There was obviously with Dzeko being out, there was a style of football I think that Canada maybe had prepared maybe differently for, and that's how it was. But I think the second half, as the game went on, Canada started to work their way into the match, and you started to get a feeling for how Canada are maybe going to play throughout this World Cup. And that maybe showed in the last 15-20 minutes when they managed to get the equaliser across the course of the game. It was a decent performance, John. I don't think it was a vintage Canada performance overall, but I think it was something to build off. Getting the first point was vitally important for Canada, and as I said, as the game progressed, it was nice to see a team that were looking to go on and and obviously searching towards Qatar or this week.
Yeah, so the Saturday panel on this week on Off the Ball is brought to you by L'Oreal Men Expert. When the pressure rises on and off the pitch, resist the heat with thermic resist deodorant by L'Oreal Men Expert. We have the Irish centurion Kevin Kilbane on the line. Delighted to speak to Kevin live from Vancouver in Canada, where the World Cup is taking place with Mexico and the USA as well. Should we have regrets? Like, I was watching the South Korea-Czechia game. Do you think we would have done okay in that group with Mexico and South Africa as well? The Group A match is taking place Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game myself, John. I was covering the Mexico game initially, and I think Mexico will dominate that group. Mexico, to me, look like they've got way too much for the rest of the teams that's in the group. Yeah. But Czechia, I think Czechia, John, it was pretty much as I expected Czechia playing the way that the game progressed. I don't think they're a great team, John. Seeing them in the two playoff games, not just the game against us, but the playoff game against Denmark afterwards, I think they're very one-dimensional. I think they're a team that don't necessarily go and play open, expansive football, and that's how it was. I think I actually think, John, they might come out of the World Cup with maybe 1 or 3 points maximum, and I think we'd have been in better shape coming into the World Cup. I think we honestly would have played a much better style of football against South Korea and definitely against Mexico going forward beyond that. So it was disappointing actually seeing Czechia, and I think Mexico by far and away the most experienced and the most expressive team.
The hydration breaks probably have to happen for heat purposes, Kevin, but are the commercial breaks being taken over there in North America when the hydration breaks are happening?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the hydration breaks are 3 minutes long, and you can see it clearly going into them. Three minutes. It's ad time, John. It's commercial space. It's money. It's revenue to the networks that's over here. Certainly with us working over here, and that's the way it is. It's I think, John, you like me are quite a traditionalist.
Yeah.
Having the water break, it's quite interesting seeing it and seeing how it's working out. But essentially, it's money to FIFA, and that's how they're viewing it.
Is it a momentum killer for a player if you're on top, for example? Does it like arrest momentum?
Well, was it Czechia? I think it was Czechia actually that actually spoke of that. They had momentum just prior, and Czechia didn't play great, but I think they had a bit of momentum prior to the water break, and it can kill momentum if you're on top in a match and you're starting to feel like that we're going to get a breakthrough if you haven't scored, or even if you're chasing the game. That's ultimately how it's going to work out through this tournament. It's not the ideal solution, I think, throughout, because if I'm looking at it from you know talking about Canada earlier on,
yeah.
Canada didn't necessarily play well in that in the first half of the game yesterday against Bosnia, John. And I think after they got through the initial 20 minutes of the game, they managed to settle themselves down. Jesse Marsh got them over to the sideline. He got them calmed. He got them settled. He got them maybe prepared for the second half in the first half, the second half of the first half, if you like. So, look, it's just the way the game's gone, John, and that's ultimately the way we are right now.
Okay, lots more to come with Kevin Kilbane after the 2 o'clock news here on Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. Folks out there, if you want to ask Kevin a question, 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number. Who's your prediction for the World Cup? Who are your dark horses? Which players do you think will shine? Lots more to come from Kevin after 2 o'clock. So the Saturday panel on Off the Ball this week brought to you by L'Oreal Men Expert. When the pressure rises on and off the pitch, resist the heat with thermic resist deodorant by L'Oreal Men Expert. Kevin Kilbane, former Republic of Ireland international, is in Vancouver for us early doors out in Canada. You're going to Australia against Turkey later. So, I mean, we saw quite a lot of Bosnian fans in Toronto where you were yesterday, Kevin. Are you expecting much of a meld of joy and colour over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I'm John. Sorry, I'm just trying to sort out my microphone and everything here.
It's all right.
It's all good. Do you know what, John? I left Toronto last night quite late on. I arrived in Vancouver early hours of the morning this morning over here, and there's so many Australian football fans that I met in the airport when I was getting off the plane, getting the taxi over to the hotel, even arriving at the hotel over here. So I think there's a huge, and it was like unexpected from my point of view to seeing the Australian fans, but a huge amount of Australian fans that's here. So I think we all know the way that Turkey travel. Turkey will have a lot of fans in BC Place later on this evening. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think across the course of the day, seeing a lot of the teams. I mean, of course, we're looking at the setup of the sides, but I think it's starting to gain a little bit of momentum now. You know, anyone's got the thoughts on how this World Cup's going to go, but I think it was quite flat the first day, watching Mexico in their opening game and seeing how they played, then going into Czechia against South Korea. It was quite flat. Yesterday was great. I honestly don't think there's been a better atmosphere, I mean, arguably ever in Toronto, seeing Canada against Bosnia yesterday, seeing the US last night. They've caught fire earlier on against Paraguay. I'm expecting today to be great, and I'm really looking forward to it, to seeing how this game's going. And I think Turkey and Australia will be a great atmosphere come this evening.
So do you think the football is going to take over, Kevin? You played every game in 2002 for the Republic of Ireland. You've been at World Cups working as well before. You have the Infantino press conference, and you have then the Somalian referee refused entry, like stringent checks on players and officials, the issue with Iran. Do you think all this... It'll still be in the conversation, but do you think the football will begin to dominate the conversation?
Well, even going back, what, 3.5 years ago now, 4 years ago in Qatar, John, all the talk around the issues that we all were reading and hearing around Qatar, the game took over. Once the tournament started, the game itself took over. We were seeing a really high standard. It was... You know, I think the knockout stages, John, was as good as I've seen in a World Cup over in Qatar. The final itself was probably the best final, the way that it finished, that I've ever seen. And I think overall, I think we're all hoping that it will just be about the football. I think FIFA themselves, John, whatever mess that they're making of arranging the tournament, the way that it's been for them, ultimately... they're hoping that the games itself, the quality of the football, just take over, and we'll be talking about the games and the quality of in everything. I think that's what FIFA are actually hoping for come the end of the tournament. And I do believe that, John. I think once we get out the knockout, out the group stages into the knockout, I think we'll see quality games, and we'll be talking more around that come the end of the tournament.
The hurrying now of the throw-ins and the substitutions, did you notice a change in that yesterday in the Canada game?
Not particularly, I have to say that. I don't think there was a huge swing in how the referees are reffing the game. Look, Mexico's opener, there was 3 red cards. I think there was only 4 red cards in the whole of the tournament in 2022. And the 3 red cards... It wasn't, to me, you'd have seen it yourself, John. It wasn't a dirty game. There was nothing really in the match with the 3 red cards that were shown in it. And I think the referees from that first match maybe showed that they can maybe slow the whole process of the decision making down in their own head. I think over the course of the next 2 or 3 games, into the US game against Paraguay last night, I think they are taking the time a little bit with the decisions. But I don't think that's affecting the on-field decisions, really. I think around the corners, around the laws of the game that's going into this tournament, John, I don't think it really did change anything overall. I quite like the laws and everything that's coming around, the rule changes coming into this World Cup. I actually quite like the decisions that they're going to be making, but I don't think it actually affected it overall. So hopefully we've still got a great product. We've still got a tournament that's going to provide great entertainment and quick, incisive football. I think that's what we're all hoping for.
Are you hoping for some decent play from Turkey? Vincenzo Montali, the Italian, is in charge there. I mean, Arda Güler from Real Madrid and Kenan Yildiz of Juventus. I mean, they're the two players to watch, you'd expect.
Yeah, and Yilmaz as well, Kolihoglu in midfield. I think Turkey in goal. John, they've got a good side, Turkey. And I think they've got to try and keep pace now with the US and what they set in their game against Paraguay. But I think overall, yes, Guler and Yildiz are two exceptional players, and I think they're game changers. So, I really fancy Turkey to do well in this tournament. And I know they've been dark horses in the past going into Euro 2020. They were in great form going into the Euros then and didn't quite replicate the form that they'd shown prior to the Euros. And that might have been down to COVID. I think now they've got a young team. They've got, you know, a few experienced players around the youth that they've got within their side, John. I think Turkey will be strong, and I expect them to show that, certainly in the opening game against Australia, but beyond that as well. I actually think Turkey will top this group. And
right.
The US over here, John, in North America, they feel very confident. They feel very bullish in how they're going to finish this group. And maybe the start of the group showed that, but I think Turkey will take some beating.
Yeah, Pochettino in charge of the United States. What about tonight then, Brazil against Morocco? Are you bullish or are you bearish about the Brazilians? Are you feeling good about them, or are you a bit wary?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where you stand on them, John, to be honest with you, Brazil, but...
Best manager.
I was just going to go there, John. Ancelotti trying to get the best out of that group of players. I think they've got a calming influence over so much talent. But, I don't see Brazil overall at the level of where Argentina, Spain, France, England maybe to an extent as well. I don't see Brazil at that level overall throughout the side. And that might be something that works in the favour, John. We go into every tournament expecting Brazil to be, you know, the team that gets to, at the very least, a semi-final or final. So maybe that's something that works in the favour. But I just don't see Brazil with the players that they've got seriously testing. Maybe a quarter-final, last 16, quarter-final at best for them, John.
Is that because their midfield isn't good enough?
I think that's where this World Cup is going to be won and lost. I think the climate is going to dictate how the teams play. I don't think many teams can play the, I don't even know how you want to describe it, heavy metal football, if you like, the real high press football. And I think we've seen it even at the start of the tournament, John. I think teams are starting to not be a little bit more expansive in the styles, how they're playing without the ball. I don't think we've seen a real high press from many teams. If you look at South Korea and how they usually play, South Korea are a high press team. They like to put pressure on teams that they're playing against. And I think they even sat back a little bit. Canada are a side that likes to play high press football. They sat back a little bit. So I think the climate's going to dictate to a lot of teams and how they play. And I think overall, John, I think it might be a team like Portugal, like Spain, that have successful tournaments here, Argentina, another one, that play a little bit more compact in midfield. It'll be a lot more about keeping the ball for long periods and long spells across the game. And that's what just leads me to Spain, John. I just can't look beyond Spain. I think Lamine Yamal is going to be the game changer for them. But I think in midfield, Spain and Portugal, maybe Argentina as well as another one. I think that their style of play will help them come the end of the World Cup.
Kevin Kilbane is back from Vancouver. Kevin, we have a WhatsApp here for you about Gaelic football. Nervous about Mayo game because you never know what you're going to get from Mayo. Chaos, total box office, but not good for the nerves. Long-suffering but loyal Mayo supporter. Red and green, go Joe. Kevin, so your Prime Minister of Canada, Mark Carney's in Ireland at the moment, and Mayo are involved in the football championship. You still keeping an eye on Mayo?
Always, John. I always in. Shane, who's on to you there, I'll always be giving Shane a bit of stick about Monaghan and everything. But always, John. I love the Gaelic football, and I think over the last few years, Mayo, we found it tough in getting the results and things like this. But I'll always be following them, and watching as many games as possible. You know,
we have another WhatsApp here as well, Kevin. Refreshing to see ex-manager Damien Duff go back as assistant manager. Extremely common for NFL head coaches to go back as coordinators to other teams. Duffer can learn and contribute a lot, and a lot of the ultimate pressure. Fair play to him. Thoughts on the Duffer going to help Keith Andrews with Brentford?
I'm delighted, to be honest with you. I think I think Damien is a potential Ireland manager of the future, and I think we're going to look at Damien in that light in the future, and that's how it's going to be. Um, I,
I think he needs to stay in the game as long as he can, or certainly until he's back in full-time management. So it's great that we've got another Irish connection with Brentford. I think we've all watched Brentford over the last year with Nathan Collins and Quevin Keller, and of course with what Keith Andrews has done in his first year has been an extraordinary year from his point of view, first year in top-class management. And Damien, I think Damien, I would hope that Damien down the line has his eyes set on the top job. But I think the one thing about Damien is, John, he's always prepared to learn. He's prepared to listen to others. And I think it's a great role for him. It's great that Damien's back in the game, yeah.
We spoke of the Brazilians and the midfield potential issues that they have comparable to Spain and Portugal and France and other teams. We have the Scots against Haiti in the early hours. I suppose the one thing about the 48-team tournament, it does give the Scots a chance to get out of the group and see how they go then.
Yeah. Do you know what, John? I honestly think that Scotland have probably underperformed at the last couple of tournaments that they've been in, certainly the Euros in 2020 and then the last Euros in 24. Look, I think they've got so much talent throughout the side, John. I'm a huge admirer of John McGinn. I've been an admirer of John McGinn for a long time. I think John McGinn is a top-class player. If you throw in the mix of McTominay and one or two others within that side, I honestly expect Scotland to get out. And I think there's going to be a great atmosphere in Boston over the next few days. Certainly tonight going into the game, John. I think Scotland could be. I mean, I don't think they're going to really go and hurt any of the big teams, and getting out will be a huge achievement for Scotland. But I think they've got a lot of quality in their side. Maybe defensively is something that might hurt them, but in midfield, in attack, I think they've got players that can hurt Haiti tonight.
What about England then? Where are you on England at the moment? There's a huge amount of obviously hype and coverage and media and Tuchel, everything he does will be scrutinised. Do you think Tuchel's got the squad right?
The only real one I saw, John, the real issue that I saw in the players that wasn't selected, it was Cole Palmer. I think Cole Palmer was the player that England might need over here in North America with the climate. And it's going to be an issue, John, however we're going to view it. I think once you get to the late stages of this tournament and we'll be viewing England, I think they might need a player like Palmer that's going to be able to first of all, open the game with his quality and everything that goes with that. But I think even to slow it down and hold on to the ball a little bit, I think Palmer was that player that could have done that for them. So the controversy around all those selections. Trent Alexander-Arnold, John, I don't think he's ever going to be picked. I think we knew that from Christmas that Tuchel wasn't going to pick him. And however we view that, to me it's a surprise, of course, playing for Real Madrid and the quality that Trent Alexander-Arnold has. I think it was always going to be a surprise when you don't pick him. But Reece James is not a huge drop-off. If it is going to be Reece James that's going to play the games. And I think even Phil Foden, maybe the other one that is an exceptional player that wasn't picked. And off the back of his year, John, I don't think he had a great year overall. But there's an argument that I've read that he could be a lot more fresh, that he's not in a lot of game time this season. But in my mind, I don't think he had a great Euros 2 years ago. And I don't necessarily think that he's going to be the game changer that many expected. But Palmer is, John. And I think Palmer is the big one that I looked at overall with an England squad that I think he's going to be a big miss for them.
It's all about Harry Kane, isn't it? He's been so prolific with Bayern Munich, with England. Like, if he gets injured, they're in trouble, are they?
Yeah, that's the Tottenham man in you, John. It's all I hear about Harry Kane and Harry Kane's influence over this side. And it might be, John, it probably will be. Let's be honest, if England are going to have a really successful tournament and if they were to go on and win it, then it would be largely down to how Harry Kane's performing. I think this issue, John, around the big knockout games, I think Harry Kane has only scored one knockout game from open, one knockout goal, sorry, from open play. That could be an issue. England do freeze when they've been getting to knockout stages of games in recent times, and that's largely down to the expectation that's on them. I think players, and I honestly think, John, it might even be someone like Declan Rice. Our boy, of course, Declan Rice. I think that when England have played in the last couple of tournaments, John, Rice has... I felt, particularly at 24, I think Rice was playing within himself. I think he was playing a little bit inhibited. I don't think he was a player that was playing like he does for Arsenal, like he does for his club. So I think a lot rides on what Declan Rice is going to do in this tournament as much as Harry Kane.
We have lots of WhatsApps in here, 0879 180 180, speaking to Kevin Kilbane in Vancouver about the World Cup. Met Kevin and Hurley's pre-Ireland match, had a wee chat about Mayo. Really lovely lads, says one of our texters. Another one, arrived in Boston last night with my son Sullivan, staying with Uncle Danny. Going to see the Celtic cousins tonight, or the Celtic cousins, obviously, and not the Celtics. $200 for parking, says Liam. Howie lads, greetings from Hotlanta. 33 degrees here today with 100% humidity. All games in the Mercedes-Benz, the Atlanta Stadium, under the roof. Weather won't be an issue with the city sprawling population more than the island of Ireland. Only pockets of interest maybe when the games here kick off. We'll see a pickup. Looking forward to England making it here for the round of 32, says Stephen. Lads, the NBA Finals stayed in the limelight from the World Cup thus far over here. And another one as well. Kevin, a mate of mine who lives in Toronto, was saying the cheapest ticket for yesterday's game, $1,500. Was it like that?
Yeah, John, I think that's going to be an issue as well. I think, look, I have to say, John, I was in the stadium yesterday in Toronto, and it was incredible. It was quite emotional, actually. And however you view, you know, the World Cup shows and the parties, Alanis Morissette singing the anthem, Michael Bublé performing in the pre-game show. It was actually quite emotional, John. It was a great atmosphere in Toronto, but ultimately, the real fans weren't able to get tickets for the game, and ticket prices are extortionate for this World Cup. We can't get beyond that, and I think that's the case right across. Certainly in the US and Canada. I think Mexico's a little bit more reasonable, and Mexico, realistically, out of the three countries, is the real football country and the one that the expectations are very high going into this. So it's not great. I think we all know that, John. We all know that the way this World Cup has gone and FIFA have driven prices so high that many fans can't afford to go to the games. But I'm just hoping, again, going back to what I was saying before, that the games take over and the product itself on the pitch takes over down the line. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but hopefully that'll be the case. And we're talking about the players and the teams itself come the end of the tournament.
It does feel like a different tournament now. It has always been the tournament where the ordinary fan can go and celebrate with other cultures, other countries, and be a part of it, and it can be affordable for the ordinary person. Are we now into a new era? We'll have to see in Spain in 2030, obviously, and you know, that's a long way away. But I mean, hopefully this will be a one-off and FIFA will have to be corrected either internally, because it just seems like a runaway train now. And there's a disconnect emerging between you're creating a class structure around football that is only the well-off that can go. And that's a shame.
I think that's the problem here in North America, John. Only the well-off can actually play football. And that's the way it is. The pay-to-play model that's here in North America, I feel, is a disgrace, to be honest with you, because young kids coming through the system can only play football in competitive games if the parents have money. And that can't be the case. That can't be the way. If you're looking for a legacy of the World Cup, the legacy of this World Cup has to be about getting kids across North America, Canada and the US especially, getting them playing in structured football without the cost that incurs to play the game. So that's number one to start with. And the ticket pricing, John, has been an issue. It really has. A lot of friends here in Canada that have desperately tried to get hold of tickets, and they're faced with, you know, to buy a pair of tickets, paying $1,000 over here, Canadian. It's outrageous, John. It really is. And families and people just simply can't afford to go to the games over here. So it is becoming very elitist. I think FIFA have turned it that way. And the hope probably going into the next World Cup is they can modify or adjust that we can get kids watching games and going to matches again, that hopefully that'll be the case going into the next World Cup in 2030.
You're in Vancouver for the next couple of weeks, Kevin. Have you planned to go to any other stadia? Are you going elsewhere around Canada or North America?
potentially, if I'll be following Canada, John. That's how it's going to be. I'll be in the stadium for every game in Vancouver, so I'll be at every game that's played here over in BC. And other than that, potentially, if Canada move on and they ended up going to the States for their knockout games, I'll be following Canada. Other than that, I'll be covering, 75-80% of the games across the tournament, but I'll largely be in studio if it's not at the games over here in BC.
You were there 24 years ago in Japan and Korea. Was it the greatest moment of your career to play the World Cup as a human being? I mean, do you still think about it?
Yeah, I do, and it's probably something I'll get asked about. You mentioned earlier on, John, the message that you got. Someone had met me over in Hurley's in Montreal last week at the Ireland game. It was great seeing so many Irish fans and the turnout from the Irish fans. But all they wanted to talk about was Japan and Korea 24 years ago. So obviously it's our last tournament, and we need Irish teams more competitive, competing at this level at World Cups, because it is the pinnacle. It's the highlight of my career. Thinking back to myself as a kid, and it's something that always gets asked. You know, we're doing the broadcasts here, John, going into the Mexico game the other night, and you're trying to tell stories of when you're a kid. My first World Cup, John, as you know, I've spoken to you about it so many times, was Mexico 86, and
yeah.
Diego Maradona probably changed my thoughts and how I viewed World Cups beyond that. Italia 90 was so big for me. Vividly remember Kevin Sheedy scoring against England and Niall Quinn scoring against Holland and the penalty shootout against Romania. It had a huge influence on my life and my thoughts going on beyond that. So, 0-2, John, to play in a World Cup, I can't even tell you, John. It was so special to be part of that team. Many great players that we had on that side, but it's something that I will always remember. And look, when I'm 70, 80 years of age, I'll always remember being part of the Irish team in the World Cup in Japan and Korea.
Was it seeing the supporters in the crowd and family members, was that a big part of it?
Yeah, I mean, my brother and my and cousins came out to Japan, and I always remember my brother. It's something that my brother would always say to me as well. His feeling of coming out to watch me at that World Cup, and I mean, he told me he was proud of me. I'd be pretty much of the mindset when you're talking to your siblings, when you're talking to your brother, my brother and my sister. There's very little emotional time when we talk to each other. But my brother got quite emotional, and he's spoken to me since about it, coming out watching me playing at a World Cup. It was nice. I can't get away from that. My brother and I watched Euro 88 together, seeing Ireland perform the way that they played, and certainly the England game, the first off. And then Italia 90, 94, when my brother had aspirations to be a professional footballer himself. So, I think it's such a special part of my life, John, that 5-6 weeks that I had in preparation for the World Cup, in arriving in Japan and Korea, Saipan even before, it was an amazing time, such a special experience for me personally. And as I said, it probably meant more to my family, and I'm only starting to get the realization of that years later, I think, when I start to speak to people that went out there for it.
Yeah, well said, Kevin, well said. So I think you like Spain. Do you have dark horses in mind or outsiders that could surprise us?
Look, I know that one or two have been mentioned recently, but in this region, watching back to Copa America, John, 2 years ago, I think Ecuador are strong. I think Ecuador are a side that maybe are undervalued outside this region over here, certainly in South America. I think they've got genuinely, you know, one or two world-class players that's within the side. So it won't be a surprise to me if Ecuador go well in this World Cup. I think Colombia, they play with a real energy, John. I think Colombia might be a side that might be one of the dark horses. And European-based, John, anyone that watched Austria a couple of years ago at the Euros, I think Austria are a strong side. Look, are we talking about Netherlands being dark horses? I think Netherlands will be strong. I don't think Germany are of the top level that they were a few years ago. But I think Germany will take some beating at this World Cup. But if you're asking me for one, maybe off the wall team that aren't necessarily in people's mind, I think Ecuador. I think Ecuador will be very strong at this World Cup.
And finally, Kevin, it's often about the beautiful moments. I mean, the final in Qatar, Mbappe, like especially his second goal, Messi's performance. Remember when he against Croatia, Gvardiol, and then you're going to have fabulous goals. But I suppose we're here to see Lamine Yamal is one that comes to mind. Obviously, Michael Olise for France, Dembele, Mbappe, Messi again. I mean, we're hoping to see breakout stars and the stars that we do know give us some magic moments.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, I'm of an era of watching, you know, Cameroon do great at Italia 90, Bulgaria in USA 94, watching Georgie Hagi doing what he did in Italia 90. Probably nobody on our shores, John, had ever heard of Georgie Hagi prior to Italia 90. The breakout stars, the names that you've never really heard, we will get one or two from this World Cup. And I think we're all expecting maybe Lamine Yamal to become that player that's going to become the superstar that he's maybe destined to be. Is he fit enough? Hopefully he is. I think a lot rides on Lamine Yamal in terms of how Spain are going to go in this tournament, and that's the way that I would view that. Overall, I think across this, like I mentioned Turkey when we started at the top of the show, John, Arda Güler and Yildiz, these are two players that are very special players, and I think they might do something very special, and Turkey might be one of the other dark horses that I mentioned earlier on. But the World Cup, usually to you and me, John, it's about individuals. It's about Diego Maradona. It's about Lionel Messi. It's about Pelé before we were even born and what he did. And I think ultimately we will have a standout star from this tournament. Kylian Mbappe from 2018, when he did what he did in helping France lift the trophy when we were both in Russia, John. I think seeing that the special players perform on the big stage, that's what makes the World Cup very, very special.
Kevin Kilbane, enjoy the day. Enjoy Australia, Turkey, and look forward to chatting to you soon.
Thanks, John. Good man. All the best.
Kevin Kilbane there, live from Vancouver. Always great to chat to somebody at the tournament in North America, and Kevin over 100 Irish caps as well. So really appreciate Kevin coming on this afternoon here on Off the Ball Saturday News.
The Talk. Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
Thanks to L'Oreal Men Expert. With 48-hour performance, stay cool when the football heats up.
This is News Talk.